Rediscovering Self is a podcast that addresses the daily ramblings of the mind and talks about what influences the way we think and how we can cope in an ever-changing world. This podcast is brought to you by Amrutam, an Ayurvedic lifestyle brand and wellness community. Hello everyone and welcome back to a brand new episode of Rediscovering Self with Amrutam. I'm Preeti, your host, and I hope you've been listening to the episode so far and you've found something to take away from them. Today's episode tackles a very, very interesting topic, and just like all of our episodes so far, you might find this quite easy to relate to. The topic we're discussing today is, I can't get out of bed. Joining us to talk about this is Afreen Ansari. An entrepreneur by heart and copywriter by profession, Afreen Ansari is a strong advocate for mental health rights and awareness. By co-founding We Included and My Child app, her work has focused on building a community that is empathetic, understanding, inclusive, and mindful of its words and actions. She was a part of Forbes 30 Under 30 class of 2017 and a TEDx speaker in 2018. Her aim is to break down the stigma around mental health and open up conversations that let people be honest, vulnerable, and above all, human. Hi, Afreen. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Rediscovering Self with Amrutam. It is an absolute pleasure to have you here and have these conversations around mental wellness. Thank you so much for joining me today.
I am so glad to be a part of this panel because I don't think I can stress this enough that more and more people need to be having these conversations in, like, you know, in different groups, in different times, and just, like, you know, more of it. So, like, yeah, I'm happy to be here.
That's awesome. And we need more people like you who are actually having these conversations around mental wellness. So this is amazing. And I'm so happy we're able to do this.
Yeah. Kudos to you guys for putting this together.
So I just want to jump right into this. We have a very, very interesting topic for today. And I'm sure it's something that each one of us has been through at some point in our lives, whether we've thought about it or not, whether it's ever been seen as, you know, an indicator of a bigger issue or not. I feel like all of us have had these days sometimes where, you know, we just cannot seem to be able to drag ourselves out of bed. You know, it's like, it seems like this gigantic task just to wake up in the morning and step out of bed and start my day just feels like such a massive issue, right? So when we go through something like that, is there something actually wrong with us at that point, or is this normal behavior?
So I was just thinking about this, like, I mean, just last night that, you know, there's so many times when we end up putting the blame on our own self that, you know, something has to be wrong with me for me to feel like this, right? That a lot of the times it happens, okay, something that we, some unrecognized trigger might just, you know, throw us into an overwhelming spiral, or it could be like a series of bad events or like a series of bad days that might have happened for us to feel like this. But we don't, you know, necessarily realize that, oh, there are like totally unrelated events could lead to something like me feeling like, you know, not wanting to do anything, not wanting to get out of bed. And it's just, you know, we don't allow ourselves that time to process it. We, you know, a lot of the times it's just like a, we just want to fix things without even realizing what actually is it that, like, does it even need fixing? Does it even need me to do or, like, go above and beyond and, you know, to fix it? What if you just keep lying in bed for a while? I mean, I'm not saying, you know, lie in bed, and, like, keep lying in bed for a week and, like, let it overwhelm you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that, you know, what if you allow yourself that time to breathe and process, and it's okay to feel like that, you know? It's not, like, what even is normal? What's normal for me is not normal for you, right? So the more we put this emphasis on fitting into the normal or being scared of our behavior being something that is, you know, that that stands a little out of the zone of normalcy, we alarm our own selves. And so I feel like that's completely normal. That's okay. It happens to the best of us. Like, we go through difficult phases in our lives, and those difficult phases sometimes end up, you know, make us feeling overwhelmed. And when that, you know, feeling of overwhelm hits us, the safest thing that our body does is limits its interaction to the outside world. Because when we are uncertain about our own behavior, we don't want to deal with the uncertainty of the world that is outside of our room or that is outside of our bed. And so it's okay to confine yourself to your bed for a while. It's okay to, you know, not want to do anything, not feeling like I can get anything done. It's okay. It's completely okay.
Right. I think some very interesting points over there. I think the first thing that you mentioned was that we don't give ourselves that time and that space to actually, you know, feel what we are going through at that point or even understand what's going on in there. And again, when you said that it's perfectly okay to not want to, you know, face the outside world, because it's such a beautiful way that you put it. It's more like a coping mechanism of the body itself, right? Like, the body itself is not ready to face the outside world when it's not feeling at peace with itself. So that's why it kind of happens. I think that really, you know, for me at least, it's a pretty enlightening point. I would not have thought of that.
Yeah, I mean, in one of the conversations with my own therapist, she just said that, you know, I emphasized this to her that, you know, I keep trying to do things, but nothing really comes out of it. Like, what's up with me? What's wrong with me? And she's like, why do you think that something has to be wrong with you for you to feel like that? I mean, what even is right and wrong, right? And then she's like, and then she said this one thing that stuck to my head. And she's like, you have a broken ankle, let's say, right? And you don't feel particularly good. Would you keep running on that ankle? If you keep running on that ankle, it's not going to get better. It's just going to get worse. So sometimes you don't need to busy yourself when you're overwhelmed, because all it is going to do is just overwhelm you with multiple choices, multiple decisions that you need to be taking. So sometimes maybe you need to dial it back a little, let yourself breathe, let yourself heal, and then get to the task at hand. Like, sometimes we think as if taking time off for ourselves is a crime. We treat days off as if we're not supposed to be having them, when in reality, those are the days that help us get through the difficult ones.
Absolutely. I feel like rest is very, very underrated. And somehow, you know, even the outside world might be contributing to that, because there's a very, how do I put this? There's so much of an emphasis on the hustle culture and the fact that you have to keep working hard and keep gunning for something in order to, you know, achieve something or be productive. But you're absolutely right. It does tend to overwhelm a lot and even maybe lead to burnout of sorts. So taking that time off and just letting ourselves be is such a simple thing to do and yet feels like such a challenge, right?
Yeah, it does. And I'm just thinking about, like, I have hated this idea of just hustle for like the longest time that I can remember. Because I have been in the startup culture, right? And I just see all of these people ignoring their mental health issues and just talking about, oh, I need to hustle. I'm like, buddy, you need therapy. You need a good time. And you need to let yourself breathe. Because what it does is, it's such a toxic culture. Like, I am not against hustling. I am against hustling come what may. I am against pulling yourself thin when you don't need to be doing that. Like, putting pressure on yourself unnecessarily just because that is the current norm. Like, all these entrepreneurs who just, you know, say stuff like, oh, just get shit done. I'm like, buddy, how? Generalized statements like that do more harm than good, because every person's situation is different. You can't say that what applies to one person applies to the other one as well. And the more we consume this media, the more we're forced to believe that there has to be something wrong with us because we can't seem to follow somebody else's coping mechanism without realizing that we have our own coping mechanism to, you know, look at.
Right. It's just assume that what we see online is the norm because everyone's doing it, so it must be correct. And that's so unhealthy, right? It's like apples and oranges, you know. It's not one size fits all. How does anybody fit into something that someone else has going for them?
Yeah, it's like it's that joke, right? That somebody said on the internet, so it must be true.
Oh God, yeah. So you mentioned this one point, you know, like, and it's come up like a couple of times. You said that you know, this whole get shit done culture, and you're like, how? And then again, the conversation that you had with your therapist that, you know, you're doing a lot, but you're not getting anything done. And I feel like in some way, there's like, it's all linked, right? There's a bit of an inertia as well when you start feeling a little caught or a little, well, it's like overwhelmed and stuck at the same time, if that makes any sense. So, you know, like you're feeling tired and like things are just not happening. So, I mean, taking rest is one thing, but what if this becomes like a recurring issue? You know, like, I'm sure at some point, you know, you can't just be like 7 days in bed and be like, okay, this is fine, I'm just resting. Because it does start affecting the way of life as well, right? After a point?
It does, yeah. I mean, I can't stress enough the power of your support group that you have. And I don't mean support group where you go to a meeting with like a bunch of strangers and they share their stories, which can also be good, but then that's not the support group that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the everyday people in your life knowing about what's going on with you, because they can help you without even realizing it, right? I talk from my own experience that when I got diagnosed with, you know, severe depression and high functioning anxiety, sorry, chronic depression and high functioning anxiety, it was a task to let people know in my life that I'm going through those. But just letting them know that, hey, you know what, I really don't feel okay right now, and I just, you know, I just need some help getting out of it. I think that in itself is the biggest step that a person can, you know, sort of take, like acknowledging that they need help. Because what these feelings do is, like, it might not be like, you know, full-fledged depression per se when you're in bed, but, you know, it could be the starting of it. You never know, right? You never know when it sets in. You never know when it gets worse. So it's just, you know, what these conditions or these illnesses end up doing is make you feel like as if you're all alone, as if you're the only person going through this, as if nobody you talk to could ever understand where you're coming from. And that affects our self-worth the most. And the more these feelings single us out, the farther away from help we get. So it just sort of helps knowing that, you know, just remember the last time you felt like you couldn't get things done. And remember the many plans that you ended up making after it. It starts feeling like as if this feeling is permanent when it's not. So just, you know, having things like, it does not have to be your family. If they're too closed off to the idea of mental health, I'm not asking you to go on like a full battle of convincing them that, oh, mental illnesses exist and I feel like this. No, don't take that challenge on yourself if you don't feel like you're capable to stand against all of them at once. Probably talk to your best friend. Probably talk to a colleague if you're comfortable. Probably talk to your distant friend, maybe. You never know how people can end up helping you. Because, you know, even in therapy, they say that you can't help somebody who does not want to be helped. Because the acceptance has to come from you that, oh, there is something that's going on, not necessarily wrong with me, but there is something going on that, you know, that needs to change, that is not making me feel really good, and I want this to go away. I want to feel better. That's when you can take the next step of seeking help. Seeking help can look like just talking to your best friend or seeking a therapist or talking to your mom, talking to your dad, whoever you're close to in your life, and then building that support system so that when you go down, you don't have to do all the efforts of picking your own self back up. You can have all these people who can like help in bits and pieces, right? So this thing about I don't have the motivation to do anything, I can't seem to get anything done, it's okay. Just give yourself time to breathe. Do like, and also when we set ourselves up for a mountainous task, all the smaller steps that are going to help get that done just look like, you know, like it's going to be impossible. But when we look at the, oh, what is the next thing that I need to do? What is the next small thing that I need to do? So putting small achievable goals help. Just say, if you can't seem to get out of bed, if you are not able to do any of your office work, just probably fold a few clothes, fold your bed sheet. And then you can put a tick against folding bed sheets. So that's a small task that you got done. And slowly and steadily, what happens is when you're able to achieve these smaller things, it sort of helps build up that belief that you can get everything else done as well. It's like putting something in motion, right? So when you're putting yourself up for a huge challenge, it's like you're setting yourself up to fail because you're capacity does not match your ability right now. Your capacity is not to do like a million things at once. Your capacity is to do like probably one small thing at a time. So it's just realizing that, you know, there are times when you would need help, and that it's okay to accept help. It's okay to let people do some things for us without feeling guilty. Without feeling as if, you know, they're not supposed to be doing it. I'm supposed to be taking care of it myself. I can't even do this. Oh, how pathetic. No, that is your head talking yourself into not seeking help when you should be seeking help.
Right. Absolutely. And I think this is a point that's actually come up in a previous episode that I recorded with a separate professional as well, that this whole concept of self-sufficiency is very, very overrated, right? Like, why does one have to feel like we have to take care of everything on our own when we can reach out, we can ask for support when we need it? And there's absolutely nothing wrong with doing that.
I think a lot of it has also, you know, the responsibility of this idea lies so much on the culture that we're living in, right? That I mean, I grew up in a household where I was taught to be, you know, fiercely independent, like don't rely on anyone. You have to help yourself. You have to get things done. This what do you say, pressure of having to do everything and knowing how to do it and then doing everything by yourself. Like, you shouldn't be relying on other people. You shouldn't be, you know, depending on other people. Like, dependency is looked at as if it's a bad thing to have. Dependency to a certain extent is good. It's okay. I mean, it's okay for me to depend on my boyfriend to, you know, sort of help me get back up when I feel like I can't do it by myself. I mean, what's wrong with that? It's okay for me to depend on my brother, say, if I am really stuck with finances, if I ask him to help me out a little. What's wrong with that? We just, you know, have this guilt growing up. You know, don't ask for help from anybody. You can do it by yourself. And that's a very toxic notion to sort of, you know, instill in any person.
Yeah.
It's okay to get help. It's okay to not be okay, right? It's all okay.
Right. You know, to kind of jump into a little bit of my own experience over here, for the longest time when I was suffering from anxiety for I think 6 months before I decided to seek help, before I even realized that it was anxiety. And I was like, you know what, I cannot do this by myself. I cannot feel like I'm dying every single day. This is just not how I can live my life anymore. And that was when I decided to seek help. And while it started getting better, I think for me, a turning point was when I started speaking to people about it. Because there was like a twofold effect over there. One was that I found support in the most unexpected of ways. Some of my friends would stay up with me until I fell asleep just to make sure that I was okay, you know, so that because if when you're in the middle of a panic attack, you just feel like you're going to die, or at least that's how I do. And I used to message my best friend and be like, listen, I'm just not feeling okay. And she used to call me up and stay with me on video call for like half an hour, 40 minutes, however long it took me to kind of get back. So I found like this beautiful support system who were just there to, you know, help me up in the most amazing of ways. And the second thing that really helped was knowing that there are so many others who have similar stories. Because when I spoke about it, I had at least 100 people telling me that we've been through the same thing. And somehow there was this strange sort of solidarity in knowing that, you know, one isn't alone in going through this. That it's not something that one needs to go through alone as well, when there is an entire, I don't know how much of the population might be suffering with something like this and not talking about it, because so many reasons that I think once we get started on, we won't be able to stop. But you're right, just finding that support system and knowing that it's okay to just talk to people about it and just confide and just find that kind of bond going. I think that's such a big, big catalyzer in terms of, you know, feeling better or just trying to, you know, get through the day.
Yeah, I mean, you said, right, that you don't know how many people go through it. Like back in 2016, 2017, when we were doing, like putting together our research paper, there were 55 million cases of just depression in India. There were more than 35 million cases of anxiety in India. And it's astronomical numbers, and yet India is one of the most stigmatized societies.
I don't think I'll ever get it.
Because we're told to deal with our problems ourselves. It starts from that time where if you end up mentioning your house problems to a friend, what did your parents or your mom say?
Right, that itself just starts propagating a stigma from that age itself. So how do we know any better when we're all grown up, right?
Exactly. You become the house, and you're talking about problems becomes that conversation with that friend that you're not supposed to have. And like, help can come in the most unexpected of ways, because, you know, probably almost every second person is going through some or the other form of challenge. It might not be a full-fledged mental illness, but it's not to say that they're not going through their own set of challenges. And because even they are taught not to, you know, share problems. So they keep it to themselves. But when they see us sharing our own stuff and see us normalizing the idea of talking about our problems, it also helps. So it's like, you know, we start this cycle where in order to get help, we do certain things that end up helping other people and we don't even realize it. What you said about, you know, when you said that the more you talk to people about, you know, the issues that you had, it helped you feel better. It helped you, you know, in a better way. There's this episode of Modern Family on Netflix, starring Anne Hathaway, where she has a bipolar disorder and she keeps it to herself, right? She just describes that she has these episodes where she either wakes up like the happiest girl in the world, or she succumbs to her bed and everything seems dark, and that happens for sometimes days or weeks on end. And then she finally opens up to a friend. And she's mortified, you know, because she's never told anybody anything. She's gone through her life like as if that's a normal thing, as if that's, you know, that's okay to just, you know, go through this huge issue by yourself. And so when she finally opens up to her friend, you can see how much, how relieved she is to finally say it out loud. So when her friend asks her, okay, did that feel better? And she's like, as if an elephant has taken one foot off of my chest. So it's like it's helpful to speak this out loud. Because a lot of the times we do this that, what we don't say is something that won't come true. Like if I stop myself from saying it out loud, maybe it will stop applying to me, maybe it will stop being true. And the moment we say it out loud, it just becomes that much more real, right? And that is a fear that a lot of the times it keeps us from actually opening up.
Right, and I think we can also understand where it's coming from. So now that we know where it's coming from and we're able to kind of figure out what we're going through, I think you've mentioned some really nice points over here of how one can start coping with it. And I think two of the biggest takeaways are that, you need to really give yourself that time and space to just feel what you're feeling and give yourself that time to recover or just recharge, give your body that time. And the second is definitely just talking about it with any kind of a support group, right? Like, because that will definitely make it, like you said, it'll be out there and it's just going to be so much of a relief. It's something that helped me as well, so I'm totally on board with you on this one.
Yeah, and probably one, if there is one advice I would give from my own experience, it would be that don't choose a public platform like any of the social media apps to open up first about it. A lot of the times it happens that yes, you might end up finding like a lot of the people that would relate with you. But you, like nobody, sort of trains you or tells you about or prepares you for the amount of hate you could end up getting. The amount of belittling your issues that people end up doing that, oh, that's not a big deal. Why are you crying so much about it? Do you know how bad I have it at my place? Do you know that, because I have had people come up to me and tell me that my issues are not big enough to be discussed on social media.
Oh God, how?
I would be talking about, like, I'd be literally in the middle of a panic attack and I posted a story about, do you have any song suggestions or something? Somebody said that, oh, why are you seeking attention and why do you want people to know that you have a panic attack? Manika, oh, because this is my help support. Like, this is my help group that, why is it so wrong that I'm posting about it? But then, like, if you're just getting started, you might not be prepared to deal with the amount of hate that might come your way. So probably talk to a friend in person and then maybe, go online and then start talking about it. And then just, tell yourself that the people that don't agree with me or that don't find my problems worth enough to talk about are not the people that I want to reach out with. They are not my sort of say target audience. They're not my support group. My support group is the amount of people that respond to me that help me out and just stick to them.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with that because you never know what you're setting yourself up for when you post something online, and especially when you're at a vulnerable moment, right? Which is what usually happens when you're feeling a little overwhelmed or whether you're depressed or you're anxious or anything, right? Like, you don't want to place yourself in the arms of someone who might not understand what you're going through. So having a support group, your first support group, if I could call it that, like your first circle of people who are going to lift you up and support you no matter what, I think that is super important. And only if one feels okay with it or is feeling a little more grounded and better, I think then online is, fine or whatever to reach out on. So yeah, absolutely super, super important. I'm so glad you mentioned that. Thanks so much, Afreen. This has been such an interesting episode. Like, who would have thought that just a basic thought, right? Like, of me not being able to get out of bed in the morning could have so much behind it. And I think that's exactly what we're trying to do with Rediscovering Self. And this has been a wonderful conversation. I'm sure listeners are going to find this super helpful. So thank you so much. I'm so happy we could do this.
Thank you so much for having me. I mean, I am, like I said at the start of the episode, like, I am so excited to see these conversations happening in different groups. Like, you know, the more the people know about it, the better it is, because the more they'd know that it's okay to talk about all of these things, and the more they'd start talking about it.
Absolutely. I think a general mantra in life should be that it's okay. You know, it's all okay. Whatever it is, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's perfectly all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's my biggest takeaway from my whole journey with mental health as well. So, yeah, this was amazing. And I'm really looking forward to connecting with you once again for future episodes that we will have. Thank you so much for doing this with us.
Okay, thank you. And it was great being here.
Wow. So much to think about. So much to talk about. So much brought up in this episode that I really hope you're going back with a few thoughts to mull over. It's been an intense one. What we're tackling next week is going to be one for the books as well. I live in constant dread that something bad is going to happen. Yep, that's what we're talking about next week. And I will see you there Friday, 8 p.m., This is Preeti signing off now. Bye-bye. Take care and stay safe. Rediscovering Self is a podcast that addresses the daily ramblings of the mind and talks about what influences the way we think and how we can cope in an ever-changing world. This podcast is brought to you by Amrutam, an Ayurvedic lifestyle brand and wellness community.